मांडवी मिगे एमए सुमंद्र
நன்றி தலைமை தாங்கும் உறுப்பினர் அவர்களே இந்த விவாதத்திலே பங்கு கொள்வதற்கான சந்தர்ப்பத்தை எட்டு நான் உங்களுக்கு நன்றி செலுத்துகிறேன் ஐ ஆம் பர்டிகுலர்லி தேங்க்ஃபுல் ஃபார் த ஆப்பர்ச்சுனிட்டி டு ஸ்பீக் ஆஃப்டர் தி ஆனரபிள் லீடர் ஆஃப் தி ஆப்போசிஷன் பிரசிடென்ட் மஹிந்த ராஜபக்சே ஸ்போக் திஸ் மார்னிங் இன் திஸ் ஹவுஸ் Because this gives me an opportunity to put many matters straight. President Rajapaksa, in the course of his speech, stated many things. He referred to the discussions that the Tamil National Alliance had with his government in 2011 and stated that it was we who walked out of that meeting. That is furthest from the truth. We met first time on the 10th of January 2011. We met 18 times. The 18th meeting was on the 16th of December 2011. In between once, in August, we refused to meet further. And that was because at the first meeting, the second meeting, and the third meeting, we gave proposals from our side as to what we thought should be the contours of a political solution. The government delegation was led by then Prime Minister Honorable Ratnasiri Vikramanayake. It included Honorable Nimal Siripala de Silva, Professor G.L. Peeris, and Honorable Sajin Divas Gunawadana. Subsequently, Honorable Ratnasiri Vikramanayake withdrew from that committee and was replaced by Professor Rajiva Vijayasinghe. Although we gave our proposal, the government having repeatedly assured us that they would respond to our proposal, failed to do that for several meetings. And therefore, around August, we said it's useless to continue to meet until they gave their proposals and we stopped meeting. Thereafter, there was a meeting between President Mahinda Rajapaksa and Honorable Sambandhan, at which it was agreed that we would resume the talks and that the talks would continue on the basis of 5 documents and President Mahinda Rajapaksa's speech at the inaugural session of the APRC and the Experts Committee held in July 2006. Which Honorable Mangala Samaravira quoted from this morning. Those 5 documents are the Mangala Munasinghe Select Committee proposals, the proposals for constitutional reform under President Chandrika Bandaranaike Kumarathunga of 1995-1997 and the Constitutional Bill of 2000. And the Multi-Ethnic Experts Committee to the APRC report. And as I said, also the speech made by President Mahinda Rajapaksa. That was agreed. And on the basis of that agreement, we resumed our talks in September 2011. And we proceeded until December. And in December, we fixed the next meetings for 17th, 18th, and 19th of January 2012. On those 3 days, we went for the meeting. The government delegation did not come. Even though on the first day, the 17th of January, we knew that they had not turned up, yet the following day and the day following that also, we went and sat there. So 3 days we went and sat, and the government delegation did not turn up. And on those days, Mr. S.M. Krishna, the External Affairs Minister of India, was visiting Sri Lanka. These are all matters of record. So it is wrong for the Honorable Leader of the Opposition to say that we left the meeting. Even on that occasion, Honorable S.M. Krishna stated at a press conference before he left Sri Lanka, with Professor G.L. Peiris standing by his side. Professor G.L. Peiris was the External Affairs Minister of Sri Lanka at that time, standing by his side. He said, as many times before, President Rajapaksa has assured me that a political solution would be found by implementing the 13th Amendment in full and building upon the 13th Amendment so as to achieve meaningful devolution. Now, he referred to 13 plus, and he said that was not his terminology, that was somebody else called it that, and what he meant by 13 plus. This is what was meant by 13 plus, because not only did S.M. Krishna say it, it is in 3 joint communiques between India and Sri Lanka. Once between then President Mahinda Rajapaksa and then Prime Minister Dr. Manmohan Singh, and on another occasion again between S.M. Krishna and Professor G.L. Peiris, the 2 external affairs ministers of the 2 countries. And the phrase used, Honorable Minister.
Honorable Minister.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Member. I just want a clarification. Now, you said S.M. Krishna said that full 13 will be implemented.
So, and going beyond that.
That is what I want to make sure. He said the full 13th Amendment will be implemented, and then he said 13 plus also.
Going beyond that to achieve meaningful devolution. That phrase is in 3 documents, in 3 joint communiques. That's important to note that. Because implicit in that phrase is an acknowledgement by the government of Sri Lanka that 13th Amendment is meaningless. That is why you had to go beyond that to achieve meaningful devolution. There's an acknowledgement by the government of Sri Lanka that it is not meaningful devolution. The system of devolution that obtains in the 13th Amendment is not meaningful. That is why they said we will achieve meaningful devolution in the future. But prior to that, full implementation of the 13th Amendment. And what did we hear, the Honorable Leader of the Opposition, this morning? He said in the new proposals, there is a proposal to have provincial police. And he sounded horrified at that thought. It's there in the 13th Amendment. It is there in the 13th Amendment, which he has ad nauseam assured the world that he will fully implement. What is there to be horrified at the thought of law and order being devolved? He has repeatedly assured this country and the world to implement the 13th Amendment in full. If that be so, law and order is a devolved subject in the 13th Amendment. Not fully devolved. Police is not only to the provinces. Certain powers of the police are devolved. Certain powers of the police will be retained at the center. That truth is never communicated properly. Even in the proposals, that is exactly what is given. Now, with regard to the more recent effort at drafting a new constitution for Sri Lanka, the Honorable Leader of the Opposition said this morning as he commenced his speech, he said, enacting a new constitution must be done at the beginning of a government's term, not at the tail end. But what did we have at the beginning? At the beginning, as soon as this parliament was constituted in August, in December of that year itself, 2015, a public representation committee was appointed. That went around the country, got views from all different people, and a report was submitted on the 31st of March 2016. And beginning 9th of January 2016, this parliament debated a resolution four times in this house, and eventually 2 months later, on the 9th of March 2016, this parliament unanimously adopted that resolution. It unanimously adopted that resolution. Not one single member called for a division. And what did that resolution say? That resolution is very detailed. It goes on to say how the new constitution would be enacted, what the drafting process would be, how the Constitutional Assembly will bring the draft to this parliament, how it will be tested in the Constitutional Assembly for a two-thirds vote first. All of that is in great detail, and that was unanimously adopted. And every single decision taken thereafter in the Constitutional Assembly hearings were unanimously adopted. Not one person voted against any of those decisions. And we had the steering committee. I was a member of the steering committee. That steering committee has met more than 80 times. By the end of 2016, as Honorable Jayapathy Vikramaratne stated yesterday, we had an interim report ready. Yes, there was a proposal to abolish executive presidency. That was a promise given to the country. There were proposals for electoral reform. That was also a promise given to the country. But more than both those was a crucial issue of the solution to the Tamil national question. A question, a problem that had plagued this country for 70 long years. This country has never been at ease from the time it attained independence. And we were trying to resolve that. And during that process, President Mahinda Rajapaksa's representatives in those committees said, don't rush, don't rush. We mustn't rush this. We must have time. We must consider this. The interim report that was ready in November 2016 could not be brought out until September 2017. Because they said we must have longer discussion. We must talk within our party. So you can't have the cake and eat it. You can't say don't rush into it at the beginning of a parliament's term. You can't say we want time, we want consultation. This must be done with full consultation and consensus. Take time over it. And when the time has passed, you can't come and say, oh, now it's the end of the term, now we can't do it. We must always do it at the beginning of the term. You can't do that. This is a process in which people have been directly consulted. This is a process in which six separate subcommittees have given reports on six separate matters. This is a process in which another ad hoc committee was appointed, which included Honorable Susil Premajayanth and Honorable Prasanna Ranatunga, with regard to the relationship between the center and the provincial councils. They have given a report. And a process in which the steering committee on six other subjects gave an interim report. All of the principles of devolution were unanimously agreed upon. And the first principle of devolution was principle of subsidiarity. What does subsidiarity mean? What does subsidiarity mean? It was readily agreed upon. No one ever objected to that. Subsidiarity means you do exercise power at the lowest level if it is possible to exercise at that level. Only if you can't do it at that level, you go to the next higher level. That was agreed. It is on that basis that a three-tiered system was devised in this proposal. At the local level, yes. At the provincial level and at the center. The center has a lot of powers. Center did not give up most of its powers. But there was a proposal to give to the provinces substantial exercise of legislative and executive power. So that people who are smaller in numbers, when you take the country as a whole, at least in the areas in which they are a majority, can determine their affairs. Not foreign policy, not monetary policy, not the defense of Sri Lanka, No, none of those. All of that will be retained in the center. But with regard to matters that affect day-to-day lives, that affect those decisions will be taken in the provinces. People in the provinces are asking, why should decisions about our daily lives be taken in Colombo? In fact, all of the proposals on devolution that are contained in the report, which has a draft, are proposals that are endorsed by the chief ministers and opposition leaders of 7 provincial councils other than the north and the east. Every one of those, the northern chief minister never came before the steering committee. The eastern chief minister never came before the steering committee. It was the other chief ministers and their respective leaders of the opposition who came. Every single proposal for devolution is a proposal that was made by the 7 chief ministers and their leaders of the opposition other than North and East. And all of those 7 provinces at that time were ruled by UPFA. Not the UNP, by the UPFA. These are proposals on devolution that are contained are proposals by the UPFA chief ministers, not anybody else. Exactly, I'm asking you that question, Honorable Member. Why is your leader then castigating these proposals that have been made by his own party members who are chief ministers? Why is he saying this will lead to the division of the country? This will split the country into 9 different parts. That's what we heard him say this morning. These are all your own proposals. And why are you now saying this will split the country into several parts? Why did you make those proposals? Oh, you no, have consistently...
Member, point of order. Honorable Taraka Balasubramaniam.
I give you the floor. Yes, sorry. I just want to remind the Honorable Member the nature of politics is such that if you are in a position of power, everybody wants more power. Obviously, the Chief Minister wants more power.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for endorsing what I said. Yes. Quickly, without
Honorable
taking time, please.
Minister.
Sorry, I need to go.
No, he likes anybody to... No, they are democratic people. They like anybody to talk, unlike you all.
Honorable Minister, without engaging in conversation with him, ask me.
Sumandiran, Mantuma, then me... No, Hadisri, I don't know what I'm saying. Me, Obutuma, then me, Tuma, Kiwe, Karne, Ta, Vedagat, Garu, Sabapetumani, then me, Emma Pakshema, Mahamathivaru Saha, Vipakshanayakavaru, Hadala Dunanam, Baleti, and Venameka. Malay, Apitone Lata Venaskarandai, Evela, Epaki and Ibani, Mahindra Smetuma, Pashanakatuma, Anivarim, E. Karapu, Yojana Saman, Evakian don. Apitome, make a Maruka and the Balay in Koteka, Letikoteka, the Kakar and the principal.
Honorable Minister, I'm not only asking questions from the UPFA, I'm asking questions from the government today, right? From your own government. We moved this very important resolution yesterday, and we moved it. There were times at which all of the seats in the government benches were empty.
Point of order, sir.
Whenever.
What's the point of order?
There was no senior minister present.
What's the point of order?
Honorable Chairman. Honorable Sumandir.
Honorable Member Katagaru. Honourable Member, point of order.
Honourable Chairman, now we have given our proposals to this Council, Assembly. As a joint opposition, we have given our proposals. The only party in this Parliament that hasn't given a proposal to this Council, Assembly, is the UNP. So why don't you, being...
Continue, Honourable.
You being a very close relationship...
But that's not a point of order. You have made your point. Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. No, thank you very much. So, what I want to repeat... I want to repeat what Honorable Jayampathy Wickramaratne said yesterday in this house, right? When the steering committee proposals were placed before this before the Constitutional Assembly, the Prime Minister emphatically stated that these are our proposals. When we drafted the proposals, initially Janata Vimukti Peramuna the Tamil National Alliance and the United National Party did not make separate proposals because the main proposals were negotiated and agreed upon. I have all the minutes of the meetings. All of those proposals were negotiated and agreed upon. Nothing was not agreed upon. But after having agreed upon those proposals, some parties, perhaps as Honorable Taraka Balasubramanian said, for electoral politics reasons, said we want to say our position. So democracy is such, they were all allowed to make it. After they made their positions, the Janata Vimukti Peramuna said, we also want to present. So we also had to place our position, so TNA also placed it. But the UNP said, we are not budging from our original position, that this was a negotiated position, and we will just stand by that. So that is what they said. We were happy with that because it was in fact a negotiated position. It does not reflect the Tamil National Alliance's position. It is far below the Tamil National Alliance's position. It was negotiated. In fact, we were castigated. Today, the Honorable Leader of the Opposition mentioned me three times and said various things. I was castigated by my own people when the proposals came, saying, how dare you shift your position? Why have you given this up? Why have you given that up? But that was a negotiated position. We were all acting in unison to achieve consensus. You can never achieve consensus if each party stands in their own corner and says, we can't budge. So the whole point of all of those meetings was that we talked, we discussed, we debated, we fought, but we agreed on all of those. All of those minutes will bear out the fact that it was debated extensively, but it was agreed upon eventually. All of those was agreed upon. There were few points at which there were variance. Very few. But those were not contentious issues. In point of fact, on devolution, there was no disagreement. The disagreement, if there were on the abolition of executive presidency, the electoral system. Serious disagreements emerged. But on devolution, everybody was tripping over each other, saying, yes, yes, maximum possible
devolution. And
the moon nimishatla naan mudika paakran, illa en sonnal korada enakku konja kooda neram tharuva. So, this is an important point that must be made. On every issue, every party's position is there. It's written, it's reflected in the minutes. Even the UPFA's position, the SLFP's position, it was called the SLFP's position, is not adverse to, it was adverse to devolution. I went through that in the morning. They agree on the substance of devolution. In point of fact, I must record the fact that after the second interim report, which includes a draft, was presented to the Constitutional Assembly on the 11th of January this year. We had a meeting with the President and the Prime Minister. Honorable Rauf Hakim, who is there, was at the meeting also. Honorable Sampathan and I were there. There were a few people from the SLFP, none of them are here today, and there were senior ministers and the Prime Minister from the UNP were present. At that we asked the fate of this new constitution. 3.5 years we had spent in preparing this. And even at that meeting, what emerged was disagreement with regard to abolition of executive presidency and disagreement with regard to electoral system. Then the President said, but on devolution there is no disagreement. Why don't we do that? And so a committee was appointed, 4-member committee, which included myself, Honorable Saratha Munugama, Honorable Rajita Senaratna, and Honorable Dilan Pereira. We have given our proposal. All 4 of us have agreed on that, on what can be done on devolution. But there's no movement. There's no movement forward. So today in this house is the United National Party that is in government. The responsibility is with you. The Prime Minister constituted a public representation committee in December 2015. The Prime Minister became the chairman of the steering committee that met over 80 times and have gone through this process and have brought two reports, comprehensive reports. The second one includes a draft of the constitution, which was made by the experts who advise the steering committee. All 10 of them agreeing. Their dissension, if any, are recorded. Only two of them had comment to say that the form in which it is drafted is not their own, but they agree with the contents. And one other member said that she disagrees on only one point, and that is a non-citizen being disabled to contest an election for parliament or presidency, she does not agree. Even a non-citizen should be allowed to contest, or dual citizen should be allowed to contest. Those are the only two disagreements. So the expert committee consisting of 10 members have given a draft. Having done all of that, and the Prime Minister comes to the Constitutional Assembly, presents it and says, this is not mine. This is not ours. Experts have given it. Did not take responsibility. And that criticism of the Prime Minister, I stand with the Leader of the Opposition on that. He chaired the steering committee. He steered this whole process. And after all of that time, money, expertise, all of that being spent, he says, the experts are given, now it's up to you. And did not convene even one steering committee meeting thereafter. So why did we go through this? Was this just a charade? Was it just a charade? I'm asking them. Right? That you did this to show the world that you are doing some constitutional reform, you are being liberal, you are being accommodative, that you are trying to forge consensus. In fact, we forged a consensus. We arrived at a consensus. But you are unwilling. You don't seem to have the courage to take forward the process that you initiated. And that is our criticism of you today. We have spent our political capital. We have spent everything, every sinew to make this a success. We have participated, Mr. Sambandhan and I have participated in every single steering committee meeting. Only three I missed, he missed three, and those three, the other person was present. That was the dedication with which we participated. And those in the steering committee know how much accommodative we were, how we agreed on difficult questions. Because we want this resolved. We want this age-old question resolved once and for all. And we thought only when the two main political parties are together, it is possible. And that is why we gave it our all. Even if the parties have separated, it is still possible. This is a statesman effort. This is not a political project. This house, whichever side you may be on, must obviously realize the calamity that has befallen this country, because this is not resolved until today. Honorable Mangala Samaravira listed quotations from leaders of all the political parties of this country, all saying the same thing, that power must be shared, power must be devolved, every citizen must be treated as equal. Opposition leader saying, I built roads, I had buildings put up, all that is good, is all welcome. That doesn't substitute for political power. Material benefits to our people will never substitute political power in the hands of our people. And that is what we are asking for. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? Is the majority people of this country saying, no, political power will always be in our hands and in our hands only? We will never share that power. Is that what the majority people of this country are saying? I don't think so. I don't think the Sinhala people, I don't think the Buddhist people are saying that. Their political masters want it in their power, in their hands. And they want to hold on to that. But what is the result? The result is that the people who are minority in numbers, I don't describe ourselves as minorities. We are not minorities in this country. We are smaller in number, but we are equals. But for us to be equals, for us to exercise equal citizenship rights in this country, we must also have access to political power. Our people must be able to decide matters in the areas in which they live. That is what President Mahinda Rajapaksa said in July 2006. People in their localities must be able to decide their own fate. That's what he said. Those are his words. He knew what he was saying then. Now, he sang a totally different tune. Very disappointed with the unstatesmanlike behavior of the leader of the opposition today in this house, where he gave a very wrong picture of this whole process, where he gave a very wrong picture of the proposals that are before this house. And I want to say most categorically, the proposals that emerged in January this year goes not one inch beyond what he promised this country and what he promised the world, particularly with India. Why did he do that? Why did he go and make joint communiques with India? We didn't tell him to do that. He did it, saying 13th Amendment will be fully implemented, including land and police powers, which are there in the 13th Amendment. And then he went beyond, acknowledging that it still is not meaningful devolution. He said, but we'll build upon that so as to achieve meaningful devolution. Having said all of that, if he can now turn 180 degrees and castigate this process, raise a war cry, tell the Sinhala people, no, this is going to divide the country, that's most unstatesmanlike behavior that you can find. I regret that I had to use those words about the Honorable Leader of the Opposition, President Mahinda Rajapaksa, today. But that is what he is doing. And we would still give our fullest cooperation. I want to say that here today, even at the tail end of this government or whatever, I don't know why people call it tail end, this parliament has one more year, we will give it our fullest to complete this process. Because the future of this country depends on this process succeeding. Mark my words, the future of this country depends on this process succeeding. The motion that was moved by Honorable Sampandan says that very clearly. He raised that question, which was echoed by the Honorable Minister of Finance a little while ago. What would be the future? What would be the future if we don't succeed in doing that? It would be disastrous, be worse than what we have ever seen before. This is no threat. But anybody who knows history can say that with confidence. Therefore, I urge the House, I urge the government, which is depleted today in their ranks, today also, showing scant respect for this process that they initiated, showing no importance at all, that's most disheartening. And the opposition, the main opposition, please come together. We will still continue to cooperate. So to achieve a social contract which is agreed to by all the different peoples of this country. So far, we do not have that social contract. That is a fundamental problem in this country. A constitution is a social contract, it's not just a law. It's a social contract. A social contract must be agreed to by all the parties. We are willing to agree. We have shouted that from the rooftops. We are willing to agree. Even now, we are agreeing. Our hand is still stretched out. Don't fail to grasp it. Because if you fail to grasp our hand of friendship, in the days to come, it will not be this hand that will be stretched towards you. Thank you.
நன்றி மாண்புமிகு உறுப்பினர் அவர்களே மாண்புமிகு ராவு ஹக்கீம்
பிஸ்மில்லாஹிர் ரஹ்மானிர் ரஹீம் கௌரவ தலை பிரதி குழுக்களின் தவிசாளர் அவர்களே இந்த நாட்டிலே இனப்பிரச்சினைக்கான தீர்வை முன்னிறுத்தி அரசியலமைப்பு திருத்தம் செய்கிற முயற்சிகளில் எமது கட்சி கடந்த 30 வருட காலத்துக்கும் மேலாக இந்த அவையிலே இந்த முயற்சிகளில் நாங்களும் எங்களாலான பங்களிப்பை நலவங்கி வந்திருக்கிறோம் நானும் அடுத்த மாதம் இந்த அவையில் 25 வருட காலத்தை பூர்த்தி செய்கின்ற ஒரு நிலைமைக்கு வந்திருக்கிறேன் இந்த காலகட்டத்திலே பாராளுமன்ற தெரிவு குழுக்களிலும் சர்வகட்சி மாநாடுகளிலும் நானும் பங்கு பற்றியது மாத்திரமல்ல
உங்களுக்கு முதல் கூறிய வாழ்த்துக்களை தெரிவித்துக் கொள்வோம்
நன்றி இந்த தீர்வை எட்டுகிற முயற்சியிலே தமிழ் பேசும் சமூகங்களின் பிரதிநிதிகள் என்ற அடிப்படையிலே நண்பர் சுமந்திரனைப் போல நாங்களும் மிகுந்த விரக்தி உற்றவர்களாகத்தான் இன்று அந்த விசனத்தோடு தான் இந்த சபையிலே இந்த விவகாரங்களை பற்றி பேச வேண்டி இருக்கிறது ஆனபிள் டிப்யூட்டி சேர்மன் கமிட்டிஸ் ஹிஸ் எக்ஸலன்சி த பிரசிடென்ட் மைத்ரிபால சிறிசேன got a mandate from the people to introduce a new constitution to this country. And subsequently in the parliamentary election, Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe too pledged that there would be a new constitution that they would introduce to the country. During the so-called 100 days of governance, which extended to much more than the 100 days, we managed to bring about the 19th Amendment, which reduced the powers of the executive presidency. This morning, Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa took a dig at the 19th Amendment and said that they will, once they come to power, they will try to abolish the executive presidency altogether. Of course, he is interested in abolishing the executive presidency because having enjoyed that presidency for 2 terms, since we have done away with the 18th Amendment, he is certainly at a disadvantage that he cannot contest for the executive presidency himself. Therefore, there is a personal reason for Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa to altogether abolish the executive presidency. However, not only him, every political leader in this country have been talking about abolishing the executive presidency, but having come to office, they changed their mind. Even the current president did so. That is how we had to retain the executive presidency. But as far as the minorities are concerned, we were willing to go along with the national leaders in trying to introduce a new constitution minus the executive presidency. But now all those parties which both Honorable His Excellency the President as well as the former President Mahinda Rajapaksa, all of them for different reasons, perhaps want the executive presidency abolished. Similarly, Honorable the Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe too wishes that the executive presidency should be done away with, perhaps for some other reason. But then we have to look at this issue holistically and differently. Now, I mentioned at the outset, while I spoke in Tamil a few words, that I have been in this house since 1994, and next month perhaps I will be completing almost 25 years in this house. My late leader, Honorable M.H.M. Ashraf, was there since 1989, and he was there for 12 years, two terms, in this house. During those two terms, originally he served in the Mangala Munasinghe Select Committee. Subsequently, when the GLPRIS Select Committee was formed, he became a minister and he appointed me to be in that select committee. I had the privilege of working along with, like Honorable Sumandran and Mr. Sambandan in this steering committee. I had the privilege of working along with the late Dr. Neelan Thiruchelvam. Similarly, at that time, Mr. G.L. Pierce's efforts were being criticized as if that was a constitution drafted by Dr. Neelan Thiruchelvam. The same accusation is now leveled against my friend Mr. Sumandiran, the President's Counsel. Of course, our leader, Anand Sambandan, is spared that tag of not, because they are sparing him, but then the Honorable Sumandiran is being accused of the same way as the late Dr. Neelan Thiruchelvam was criticized when the so-called 1995, 97 and 2000 Chandrika Bandaranaike Kumaratunga proposals were drafted and presented to this house. As how the Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, the Prime Minister, is being criticized today by the Tamil National Alliance for not being serious enough to bring to fruition the efforts that were put in by the steering committee to submit a complete report. It finally ended up as an expert committee's collection of opinions by various parties, and that document is before us for us to discuss. And that forms a long list of other documents which have been ad nauseam debated and discussed several times when it comes to the devolution debates in this country. We have had the APRC proposals, the expert committee proposals, the Mangala Munasinghe Select Committee proposals, the Chandrika Bandaranaike Kumaratunga proposals 1995-97, and finally the bill of 2000, the constitutional bill. I remember, while my late leader, Honorable M.H.M. Ashraf, was engaged in presenting those proposals, he spoke for almost 3 hours in this house. While he was speaking, we were away in another room discussing. Myself and late Mr. M.M. Zuhai, President's Council, were discussing with Mr. Sambandan and other TNA leaders, trying to patch up our differences, trying to bring in amendments so that we can make that 2000 proposals a complete one, and Tamil and Muslim people could have substantial devolution in the periphery through the provincial council system. But however, the issue relating to the unitary devolution was very contentious. But the proposal fell through for a different reason. At that time, the United National Party leadership sabotaged the possibility of that coming into fruition, since he packed off some of the United National Party members to Singapore. And that's how the fate of the 2000 constitution came to an end. Honorable Siddharthan is here. He was also part of that parliament at that time when all the drama was enacted in the House. So therefore, the sincerity of political leaders in this House is in question. Whether they are... Honorable Ranjit Madhu Bandara is claiming that because of the Singapore trip, 80% of the losses, the loss, electoral defeat, is attributed to the Singapore trip. So, anyway, let us forget about all those episodes. Now, we are at the crossroads of history in this country. My community particularly, after the April 21st bombings in the country, is at a different juncture. Every community has gone through the difficulties of having to face violence, a misdirected, misguided cult had, for no political reason, for the first time, have engaged in a horrendous terrorist attack, which has now brought into focus the existential threats to a beleaguered community such as ours. We have faced this in the past. We have faced violence at the hands of the state and at the hands of the Tamil militants. But for the first time, we are now facing atrocities by mobs for the reason that we ourselves were being seen as the perpetrators. So it has come to a stage where we have got to re-examine the social fabric of the country to find solutions through democratic process rather than resorting to violence. We condemn what has happened on the 21st of April, and that was absolutely for no tangible political reason, but for some warped ideology which no one could understand. We are still looking as to why this has happened. But of course, our community is engaged in a very serious introspection. But others must stop trying to impose solutions from outside. We are voluntarily looking at what has gone wrong, where things have gone wrong, and are attempting to do this exercise in all sincerity, since we are confident that the cult which engaged in this exercise had absolutely no political motives. Though they may have tried to attribute some motives, but the entire community has dismissed. And unfortunately, we are all demonized for something for which we, as a community, was not responsible for. But however, in this important juncture, it is incumbent on all of us to revisit this issue of devolution in the country for the reason that political leaders have all been very deceptive, have never been sincere. Though we minority parties have taken a very sincere approach and have compromised as much as possible in trying to achieve a final consensus. Now, I feel this document has several important suggestions. We are suggesting various important new structures. For instance, a Senate is being proposed, an upper house for this chamber, a second chamber is being proposed. That would bring the provinces and the parliament, and there will be a nexus between the two. And that's a very good exercise. And we also would like to mention about the need. We have very diligently, very carefully, had looked at various different issues. The question of the state. Since the unitary concept was seen as something that was inhibiting proper devolution, the Sinhala Buddhist majority has been too emotionally involved with the Ekhi Rajya concept. So we were prepared to go along with the fact of having that mentioned in Sinhala itself in the formulation of the provision of the constitution talking about the state and its structure. We said that Ekhi Rajya and Orumitta Nadu means a state which is undivided and indivisible, and in which the power to amend the constitution or to repeal and replace the constitution shall remain with the legislature and the people of Sri Lanka as provided in the constitution. What is wrong in this, Mr. Deputy Chairman of Committees? So this ensures that unless this house with a two-third majority and the people at a referendum voting, nobody could change even a letter. I am talking about the entrenched provisions of the constitution. So therefore, it escapes our reason why we should insist on having this convoluted provision relating to a unitary state, which is impinging on a proper devolution being exercised in the country. 13th Amendment gives by one hand, and sometimes the Supreme Court interferes and destroys everything. Now look at the court structure. The young Mr. Balasuriya is over there. You must understand that the court structure is going to undergo some substantive progressive changes. We are going to introduce for the first time a constitutional court which will be formed and which will sit side by side with the Supreme Court. Supreme Court will remain the highest court of record which will entertain, which will do away with the original jurisdiction of fundamental rights. The fundamental rights will be moved on to the Court of Appeal, and there will be a right of appeal to the Supreme Court, which is a better thing. Then we'll have an appeal court with 45 judges who will sit in sessions in the provinces. So the common man will not have to come all the way to Colombo to spend his hard-earned money in trying to retain lawyers in Colombo. We will... Yes, Mr. Balasuriya.
Honourable Member.
Thank you, Honourable Minister, for giving way. If I may ask you, Honourable Minister, why is it, is there a necessity to change the word to Orumitta Nadu or not include the word unitary itself? We don't want the Sinhalese word, we want the English word unitary in the English, English draft.
Perhaps you didn't listen to the way that the thing has been formulated. You see, the idea is to, your fear is the country will be divided and there will be separation. That is why they want to, the single majority in the country want to retain the word unitary for that purpose. So that is being very carefully, very, very in detail explained by saying what that means. Ekiya Rajya Norumitta Nadu means a state which is undivided and indivisible, and in which the power to amend the constitution and repeal and replace the constitution shall remain with the legislature and the people of Sri Lanka as provided for in the constitution. So that fear can be, that has been ad nauseam repeated by Honorable Sambandhan everywhere. He, last time when he went to Mathura too, he said this to explain what is happening is the Sinhala leaders in this country are so obnoxious. They are just clinging on to some emotions and sentiments and are allowing the inhibition as far as devolution is concerned. Your own chief ministers from Kegol, Mr. Mahipala Herath, came before us and told us he wants more devolution. What is happening is proper devolution cannot be exercised with a unitary constitution. That is the difficulty. So you don't want federalism, but then at least take this word out so that proper devolution could be exercised in the periphery. So we talk about the principle of subsidiarity. Now we have for the first time in the constitution also brought in the local government structures. The local government for the first time is going to be part of the constitutional tier. We have the parliament. இன்னும் ஒரு 15 நிமிடங்கள் கௌரவ ஃபைசல் காசிமுடைய நேரமும் மீதம் இருக்கிறது. அதையும் நான் பாவித்துக் கொள்ளலாம் நினைக்கிறேன். கொழும்பிலே இல்லை. So honorable deputy chairman of committees, we are talking about the progressive changes that the new proposals have embodied in order to make a new constitution for the country. So in that effort, several years have been spent. As I mentioned to you, my party has been involved in this exercise for the last 30 years in this chamber and outside. I must salute my late leader, Honorable M.H.M. Ashraf. We used to have hours and hours of discussion with the Tamil National Alliance, the then TULF, in his house, outside, with the late Murugesu Sivasidhampuram, was one of the former leader of the Tamil United Liberation Front. We were trying to iron out the differences we had between ourselves. We still have other differences at the peripheral level, and in fact, this morning, Mr. Senatharaja also spoke to me. Honorable HMM Harish is here. We are trying to resolve this administrative issue of Kalmune Tamil Division. So we have to find a compromise to resolve these issues at the local level, and that will help us to resolve our problems at the national level. And we as Tamil-speaking communities must act together in trying to bring a substantial devolution arrangement which can be enjoyed by everyone, not just for ourselves. The Sinhalese provinces, Sinhalese majority provinces, the chief ministers, seven of them came before us. And all of them wanted more devolution. All of them wanted the governor's powers reduced. Governors are all the time, whenever the governors are from the same party, they are very passive. But when you have a governor from another party, he becomes very hostile. And this is the experience. So governor hangs on to all the financial powers. He has to give assent to all the legislation that would be passed. Of course, the legislative work in the provinces are just not even 5% today. Because the center doesn't part with power. This is why we want the word unitary removed. So that the subsidiarity principle could be properly exercised. Not for any other reason. Forget the passion about the fear, the phobia about separation in the country, about division in the country. All that was there during the LTT struggle and the armed struggle of the Tamils. Now we are talking about a post-armed struggle period in which we have to look at the problems of the periphery, not just the minorities, the Sinhalese themselves, who want more power. In order to enjoy that power, a few progressive changes are being suggested. Now we have, we formed a constitutional council. Now that again was tinkered with by the Sri Lanka Freedom Party members. Because they came in, then the division between the UPFA in the parliament, the initial period, the president became the...
Order, please, Honorable Taraka Palasuriya, yes. Will take the chair.
Please continue, Honorable Minister.
Honorable Presiding Member, I'm glad that you are presiding. Your father, Dr. Balasuriya, was my colleague when I entered this house, and now I'm glad to be speaking while you are in the chair. And he was also somebody who had made very enlightened speeches in this house on the subject of devolution. So now we're talking about the problems that arose as a result of the divisions in the UPFA. The United People's Freedom Alliance became divided, and that has now resulted in the so-called Pohotua party, whatever name it is, your party now. SLPP has come in to stay, and then the Sri Lanka Freedom Party is functioning on its own, and now there are talks going on between these two factions. But because of this factionalism, this exercise of the steering committee too got embroiled in it, and we were unable to resolve some of these things. Even the goals that we are trying to achieve all got messed up. Ultimately, even the Constitutional Council, we thought we will make it a council with a little more representation from the civil society. We ended up having 7 parliamentarians in it. But however, that council is functioning, and that has brought in some salutary changes. But that was not originally intended. Similarly, several other changes were made. One particular difficulty we had was abolishing the executive presidency became difficult. Now I must come to the final point about the electoral reform. I am not in agreement with the suggestions that have been made in this document. This mixed system is impractical, and it is seriously flawed, and it is going to be seriously harmful for the minorities. And I have been fighting about this, and we have now experienced it in the local government elections, and we see what a mess the local government system is. In the next budget at the end of this year, I think almost all the chairmen will find it difficult. They may have to go and fall at the feet of every member in order to get the budget passed. It's going to be so difficult. Yeah, it has become such a mess, right royal mess. So similarly, we brought in some changes to the provincial council system. I opposed it tooth and nail. Finally, all kinds of assurance was given to us. We supported it. Now that has gone into limbo. I would urge, even at this late hour, let us reintroduce the old system and go back to the old system so that we can have the provincial council elections early. Of course, both the main opposition as well as the United National Party doesn't want to have the provincial council election ahead of the presidential elections. So be it. Doesn't matter. But let us at least introduce the old system so that soon after the presidential election, we'll have a provincial council election and install the provincial administration in those countries. Your own leader, the late president, the honorable leader of the opposition, Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa, this morning lamented the fact that none of the provinces are having their administrations in place. So if all of us, it is in our interest to install these provincial administrations as quickly as possible, at least to enjoy the limited powers they are enjoying through the 13th Amendment, and for it to be established, we have to have the electoral system in place. So what we had introduced is a stillborn baby. The minister himself voted against it, the delimitation committee report. That is the comedy of errors that we witnessed in this house. The minister himself, who brought the amendments, presented the delimitation report, and he himself voted against it. Entire house rejected it. So I think it is time that we ditched the whole system and then went back to the old system. And with those words, Mr. Presiding Member, I would urge that this duplicitous conduct by political leaders must come to an end. Minorities should not be hoodwinked in this manner. It is high time that the progressive efforts that have been made for the last 30 years, several documents are before us. This is the latest document, the experts' report that have been compiled together, taking into consideration all the suggestions made by several parties. And this, again, has several progressive features. Let us put them all together and try and address this issue of minority grievances in earnest and solve this once and for all, at least when a next government is in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member.